Hey guys, welcome back to Heal, Survive, and Thrive. I am so excited that you are here. Let's dive right into this week's topic. And I know a lot of people talk about this type of stuff, but I love the aspect of self-development. I love the aspect of learning these, what I call life skills that we did not learn growing up, unfortunately, in order to really have the peace, the happiness, the financial security or stability, the house, the relationship that you truly desire. I didn't know anything about narcissism when I was growing up. And then when I started to become an adult and I heard the term, I always thought it was someone who was very arrogant. So when I really learned what is NPD, what is borderline, all of those types of things, it allowed me to start kind of going back to say, okay, well, what type of person is this personality attracted to? So I wanted to give you the four types of women that narcissists really love. So the first type of woman that all narcissists are going to be attracted to is the woman that I like to call is arm candy. Now, you might think this is just like the trophy wife type of thing, but it's actually not. It can be the successful, the wealthy, the educated, the driven, the strong, the independent woman. It can also be the woman who doesn't really have any desire in life and is looking kind of for that like sugar daddy, someone to like really take care of them in that sense. So both women can be arm candy. The reason why is because the narcissist has to see what that woman offers and brings to the table as something that can boost their own ego. So some narcissists actually really do like the successful woman because that reflects on them. Like, look, I'm with this person and they're successful and they're strong and they're independent and that makes me look good. They're beautiful. They have all these amazing traits. They're a loving mother or whatever. And that makes me feel better about my own self because I have this type of person in my life. Or it could be someone who maybe doesn't have that drive, isn't a mom, doesn't have a desire to have kids. And again, that's something that the narcissist really values. Now, both women, mostly the woman who is very strong and independent and successful, they can't be too successful. So the narcissist has to make sure that you can't go too far ahead of me because if you do, that's going to bruise my ego. Now the woman who's really looking for that security and doesn't have a lot of drive, there's something about her though that the narcissist is getting. And maybe it is the woman looking at the narcissist as if they are God. Like, you know, you are so smart, you are so intelligent, you're so much better than me. And so I put you so highly above me in my life. And again, that feeds the ego. So it really depends on the type of narcissist. Both women, however, have one thing in common, and that's insecurity. So it doesn't really matter how successful you are, how wealthy you are, how educated you are, how much you kind of put the narcissist on a pedestal and praise them and think that they're God. If you struggle with insecurities, and look, we all have them, but I'm talking about real deep stuff, where you very much almost don't even know who you are sometimes, where you really lose your sense of self at times, where you give yourself to others in very unhealthy ways, then that's the type of woman that I'm talking about. So whether you were successful or not, whether you're a mother or you're not, whether you're independent or you're codependent, whatever the situation is, you have to have some form of insecurity. And the narcissist is going to play on that. That's what they're going to see within you. They're going to see, okay, there's a deep wound going on inside of this woman. And that's the type of woman that I'm attracted to because she needs me on some level, whether it's to feed her, to boost her up, to financially take care of her, whatever. But they have to be able to see that insecurity in that woman in order to really desire her. Now, a woman that's very healthy, whether she's successful or not, has money or not, children or not, whatever the case is, if a woman is very healthy, they're going to be able to date in a healthy way. They're going to be able to spot the charming, you know, the entitlement, the, you know, grand gestures. They're going to be able to see all of these types of red flags, and they're never going to be attracted to someone who's narcissistic because what the narcissist is going to be able to offer that healthy woman is not healthy stuff. And so she's going to be able to see that right away. So the next thing that all narcissists are going to be attracted to, the type of woman, is a woman that has absolutely no standards. Now, you could have some standards, but they'd be very blurry and you don't really hold people accountable for them. You don't really expect them in people. You know, your boundaries are a little blurry. So if you're a woman that doesn't really have high standards, and what are standards? Standards are just basically the way I want to be treated. So if I don't have standards, that means I don't have self-worth. So your self-worth has to come first, and then comes your standards, because if you believe you're worthy of something, then you're going to have a standard for it. Now again, if you don't have standards, then you're going to overlook red flags, because you're not going to really have kind of like a base in which you kind of rate people on. I don't even know if that's the right way to kind of put it, but the standard allows you to kind of measure people. Actually, you know what? That's the better word to see whether or not you're meeting that standard. So if I don't have them, then when I see red flags, I'm not going to really notice them, because there's no measure that I'm basing this man on or this woman on. But I do think that when you overlook those red flags, really, there's a couple of things. Number one, of course, is the insecurity, like I just mentioned. It's also, yes, the lack of standards, which I just mentioned. It's also projection. We are projecting what we want people to be in our lives rather than taking them at face value. So I always say fear and projection kind of live together. So if I am projecting onto you, it's because I want you to be something that I'm starting to see that you're not, rather than just taking people at face value and seeing who a person really is. But also there's a fear component attached to that, because I'm fearful that what I actually want doesn't exist. Because if you really believe that it exists, then you're gonna have that standard. You're gonna hold people really high to that standard. And when they're showing you that they're not that person, you're gonna easily be able to kind of move on until you find what it is that you're really looking for. Hey everyone, before we continue on with this week's episode, I want to just go over individual coaching sessions with you, because I get this question a lot. I do offer individual sessions. So if you, for whatever reason, cannot work with me and do my coaching program, either online or private coaching, where you have me one-on-one for 6 weeks, you can also book an individual coaching session. Within all of my podcast episodes, I always link all of the information below, but if you are not following me on social media, you can find me on Instagram at Stephanie Lynn Coaching. You can also check out the website StephanieLynnLifeCoaching.com for all of the information and how to register for your individual session. Now, the next trait that all narcissists are going to be attracted to is a woman that fears confrontation. So again, this kind of ties into standards, because if you do have standards, let's say you're really working on yourself and you're working on that self-worth and you're starting to raise your standards and you're starting to know, like, look, what I've been asking for is actually the bare minimum and I deserve more than that. And so you start raising your standards, you start holding people accountable, but you're not gonna really be able to hold them accountable if you fear confrontation. So a narcissist does not want someone who holds them accountable. A narcissist does not want someone who is able to verbally communicate in a healthy way, because the narcissist is just going to want what they want when they want it. So you need to be a go-with-the-flow person. You need to be a person that tells them exactly what they want to hear, when they want to hear it. You can't, you know, show them what they're doing and what they said and how that made you feel. Like, none of that can really be exposed. So if you're a woman that doesn't like confrontation and you don't like telling people what you think and how you feel because you fear whatever, that someone's gonna leave you, that someone's gonna be upset with you, that, you know, what if they don't respect my boundaries? What do I do then? If all of those things kind of stump you in life, you are prime target for someone who's narcissistic. So this is really when you become more of a doormat. This is when you become someone who's just in the relationship and you're just taking abuse. You don't know who you are. You don't have a sense of self. You really probably definitely suffer with codependency. There's a lot of fear in your relationship, fear of being alone, fear of someone thinking that you're difficult or too demanding or unappreciative or whatever it is. You haven't really learned how to be able to verbally communicate with other people. When I talk about confrontation, I don't mean fights. I don't mean yelling. I don't mean how dare you say this to me. I don't mean any of that. I just mean really knowing your standards and having the self-respect to be able to communicate with other people. That's something that 100% takes practice. I do think that that ability to have that level of confidence and self-worth and self-esteem and self-love within yourself is something, like I said, takes practice, but it is something that is required for you to live happy, a happy life. It is required for you to have the relationships that you really want to have in your life. So as you can see, especially when I'm dealing with private clients and I'm coaching people, there's a multitude of layers in self-development. It's not just one skill. Okay, let me learn about all the traits of narcissism. It goes way deeper than that, because as you can see, the more we talk about these things, you know, the standards, the arm candy, the fear, the insecurities, these are layers, these are wounds. And so you have to heal what's going on inside of you in order for you to be able to do any of these things. So the next thing is, and this is very obvious, someone who's a people pleaser. So if I'm a people pleaser, then I want to get your love by giving you all of me and in a very unhealthy way. So if I don't really think about how I feel and what I think and what are my opinions and what do I want to do and any of that, if I fear confrontation, then I'm going to be, you know, right at the front of the line in terms of who the narcissist is going to pick. So quite often I talk to people who especially have been discarded, and you know, when someone discards you for someone else, it is extremely painful. It definitely bruises the ego 100%. It definitely triggers all of those abandonment and trust issues and I'm not worthy and I'm not enough and what did I do? Like all of those stories. But something that I always tell people is if you were discarded, that was actually a good thing, meaning you were not, you might have been for many years, but on some level, you were not capable of giving this person what it is that they needed. And what they needed was something that was extremely unhealthy. What they needed was for you to please them in any way, shape, or form, and for you to just go along with whatever it is that they wanted. And that's not healthy. And a lot of people are unable to do that because no matter how many wounds you have, how insecure you are, how much of a codependent you are, there's always that little pit in your gut that's telling you, this isn't okay. I didn't like when that person did that. And that's the part that you have. You haven't detached from that part enough where you can just give and give and give and give. You give a lot, but then at some point you stop yourself because you're like, I don't feel good anymore, because you know you're not taking care of yourself. So just know that you are almost there. You're on the train to recovery because you still have that little voice that you can hear that's talking, that's telling you this isn't okay and I'm not really happy right now. Because at the end of the day, someone who's narcissistic is really looking for narcissistic supply. They're looking for someone to feed them emotionally, mentally, physically, possibly, well, not even spiritually, because I don't think a lot of narcissists have a deep spiritual practice, but I digress. But it's really about you giving them what it is that they need. Remember, this person doesn't have a sense of self, so they're looking to you to basically be everything and give them everything that they possibly need so they can feel as amazing as they want to feel. And when you start to not give them those types of things is when they will quickly move on. And again, that's not a bad thing. The last thing, and again, these all kind of tie into each other, but I do think that this is really important. Someone that a narcissist is going to be attracted to is someone that for sure has that unhealed past. So if you have baggage and you've never healed from it and you saw the daddy issue and mom did this to you and you have these deep wounds and deep insecurities and you fear abandonment, you don't want to be alone, you're severely codependent, all of those things, then you're going to be attractive to someone who's narcissistic, and you're going to be attracted to someone who is a narcissist, because that person is going to walk in and consume you with that infatuation. So we're talking about charming, saying all the right things, doing all the right things. This person is gonna completely feed into where that wound is inside of you. They're going to, you know, the butterflies that you get, and you're just gonna get wrapped in to this whirlwind romance, and you're not going to really be dating in a healthy way. I think that this is an extremely important topic, and it's one that a lot of people don't really talk about, like dating coaches or anything like that. Like, how do you date in a healthy way. Not just what are the five text messages that you need to send your guy in order for him to love you. That's not really getting to the root of the problem, and you're not going to really find the guy or the woman that you're looking for if that's the route that you're taking, if those are the videos that you're watching, because you're not changing what needs to change, which is what's going on inside of here, for you to actually attract the person that you want. So I hope that that has helped you guys. I hope that you have gotten some good tidbits from this podcast. Thank you so much, guys, for all of the love and supporting these episodes. I hope they were inspirational and motivating and inspired you and educated you as well. Thanks again, and I'll see you next week.